Well, it's good to see you this morning. I was hoping that after, since we weren't able to meet last week, this place would be just be filled to overflowing. And but anyway, good to have you this morning. Glad you could join us. I know the Lord has something special for each of us today. Actually, we're going to be talking about this year, or starting out this year. I'm not sure where the Lord will take us eventually. I never know from week to week, but for this next 2 weeks, for sure, we're going to be talking about walking in the blessings, because God has blessings for each of us. And sometimes we are not sure, sometimes we're not aware what the blessings are, and sometimes we are unable to walk in them for one reason or another. One of the, what Glenn was talking about was financial blessing, and he gives us blessing in many areas. One of the things Glenn was talking about was financial blessing. And if you're not using your resources correctly, then God sometimes withholds from you until you learn the lesson. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. Lord, they are a blessing to me. And Lord, you have multiplied blessings in my life. And so, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, I want to pray for those particularly with in the areas of discouragement this morning. And Lord, just ask that your hand would be upon them. And Lord, that you'd give them new life. That you'd take away the discouragement. Lord, that you'd help them to see the things that they need to be grateful for. Lord, that you would magnify yourself in their life. Lord, sometimes we get our focus on ourselves. And Lord, it needs to be on you. And so, Lord, we give you all praise and all glory and all honor in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I missed you last week. I got up getting ready to come and then discovered that we were going to do a YouTube thingy, but I discovered that the people who knew how to run that thing couldn't make it. And so I was just going to be preaching to me and Matt and Nora. And I think John and Bev showed up. And so, you know, I heard one time a fella, it was kind of like last week, and a pastor got up to speak, and a farmer, the only person who came was the farmer. And so the pastor thought, well, man, I'm just going to unload. And so he just preached his heart out. And when the message was over, the farmer said, Pastor, that was a good sermon, but I don't feed one cow all the hay that I have in one sitting. So I wasn't gonna unload on Matt and Nora and John and Bev last week. So anyway, glad you can make it today. So this is a new year, and I'm looking so forward to what the Lord has in store for us this year. He worked mightily in our church last year. Major, amazing, miraculous things. And I'm looking for him to do even more this next year. I know he wants to. But you know, a lot of time that depends on us and not him. And so here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask you, before you leave the church today, Cynthia's going to be standing at the door. If you leave early, she's going to be at the door to give you a sheet of paper. And on this page, there's going to be a way in order for you to prepare yourself for Sunday. Okay? And hopefully it will resonate with you such that it can be something that you do every day. Because it's a spiritual preparation. We're going to be talking about the first church today. And there was something that they did in their own heart and on their own lives that allowed them to be a tremendous powerhouse in their community. I believe God wants to do more healing this year in our church. I believe he wants to do more miraculous things in our church this year. I believe he wants to set people free from their bondages to a greater degree this year than he did last year. And I know that's where we're headed. But again, in large part, it depends on you and I. So William Carey was the first Baptist missionary to Calcutta, India. And he lived daily in expectations of what God could do and would do through him, daily. That was his daily, every day he woke up with expectations. And hopefully that will become our daily habit. And God moved mightily in his life. His first contribution in Calcutta, India, was that he started schools for impoverished children where they were taught reading, writing, accounting, and Christianity. He translated the Hindu classic, the Ramayana, into English and the Bible into Bengali, Punjabi, Oriya, Assamese, Marathi, Hindi, and Sanskrit. He opened the first theological university in Serampore, offering divinity degrees and campaigned to the end the practice of sati. Do you know what the sati is? Sati is, so when a husband died, or anyone died, they would build a bonfire and set the body on fire and destroy it. Well, the wife would sit on top of the bonfire. And she would be killed with them, or be burned alive while the body was being cremated. And so he basically put an end to that ritual. I mean, like, you know, gee, that's horrible. Can't even imagine. William Carey is known as the father of modern missions, and is credited to have spoken this word, and not just once, but this was kind of his motto. Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, let's stand for the reading of God's word. It says, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we ask or dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Say super abundantly more. Say infinitely beyond our greatest prayers. According to his power that works in us. Woo, that's powerful. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that great? Thank you. You may be seated. So here's the deal. That passage of scripture, says he is able. He is able to do far more abundantly than we can either ask or think. I believe it's not only is he able to do it, he wants to do it. It's his desire to do it. And so I believe that he wants to do above and beyond even our wildest imaginations in this church. I believe we should wake every morning with the expectations of what the Lord wants to do in and through us. I tell you what, if you do that, discouragement will just flee. You won't have any discouragement. You may have problems. You will have problems. But if you wake up with expectations, knowing that God wants to use you and infuse you with the Holy Spirit to be able to minister to people's lives and lives be changed through the power of Jesus Christ, you will just have a wonderful day, I guarantee you. Listen, this is what I'm hoping for and praying for this church. In John 14, 12, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. That's a crazy, marvelous verse. Jesus did a lot of marvelous things. So here's what we need to do. We need to wake up with expectation. We should live with expectation of God moving mightily in our midst. We should pray for and look for God to do what he says he will do. And you need to know what he says he will do and then begin to look for it, expect it. Now, it may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week, but you need to just keep on expecting, keep on expecting, keep on expecting. Now, when we talk about God's blessing, we sing at the close of every service, the God bless you. The Lord bless you. His blessings be upon you. And this is more than just a declaration of us. It's a declaration of God to you as well. So live in expectation, even when you feel like God isn't listening to your prayers. Have you ever been there? God, you feel like the prayers are just kind of going here. Maybe they are. But it's not because of God. It's because of us. So God bless you isn't a wish. It is a declaration over your life. It's a declaration of God for your life as well. As a matter of fact, he told the priest to say this over the people of Israel. When they gather together, the priests were to say this, the blessing over the people. God wanted to bless his people. The disciples had lost hope when Jesus was crucified. And then he arose and was seen by them for 40 days before he ascended into heaven. Before he ascended, he left this promise in Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now," in verse 8, "but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So what was the expectation? They would receive the Holy Spirit, that they would receive power to share the gospel with clarity and with boldness. John the Baptist said this in Matthew 3:11, "I indeed," John said, "baptize you with water into repentance, but there's one coming after me who's mightier than I am, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The Holy Spirit and fire. So there's the expectation. The disciples were expecting something. They were expecting the Holy Spirit, and they didn't even know what that Holy Spirit was. But they were expecting it. And then there was the anticipation. Do you remember as a child, and I don't have a lot of, I don't know why I don't remember my childhood as much as a lot of people do. But there are sometimes, if you remember as a child, Christmas is coming. And then at the beginning, at the beginning of December, man, your anticipation rises and you get more excited as each day goes by because you're expecting something wonderful. And so you're anticipating. And then on December the 24th, you can hardly sleep because you know Santa's coming and you know there's going to be something under the tree. And so you can hardly sleep, and your parents say, go get in bed, because they've got to put a bicycle together or something, and you don't want to go to bed. There's that anticipation. Once Jesus spoke this promise of the Holy Spirit, I'm certain the disciples were anticipating what was going to happen. They weren't sure exactly what they were getting, but they knew it was going to be something great. In Acts 1, 12 through 14, it says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey," which is about 3/4 of a mile. Okay? "And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." We find that actually, there was 120 followers who went to this upper room. Now, what if, let's just say the 120 saw Jesus ascend into heaven, okay? And Jesus told them, hey, listen, or the angel told them, hey, you need to go to Jerusalem, stay there, and they went to an upper room. Let's just say that we're part of that 120. Would you have done what Jesus said, or would you just kind of like, it's just going to be another Sunday? It's fishing season. It's deer hunting season. It's football season. It's basketball season. It's just going to be another day. And they stayed home. Or they went fishing. Or they went hunting. Now, sometimes our ox gets in a ditch, right? Sometimes we can't help it. Sometimes plumbing freezes. And you got to fix it. Sometimes cows get out in the road. You got to go herd them up. I remember 4 o'clock one morning, Dad, we got his call on the phone when I was a child, and actually a teen, and Dad woke us up and said, hey, you got our prize bull is out. You got to go find him. So we rode the roads and rode the roads and finally went to the pasture, and the bull was there. It was somebody else's. So we never did find him. But sometimes, sometimes your ox is in a ditch and you can't come back. Here's what you need to do. God's going to do something. And we need to be like these followers of Jesus who went to the upper room and like, man, I'm not going to miss that. I'm not going to miss what God's going to do because I'm expecting God to do something. And every Sunday, we need to expect God to move. Every Sunday, we need to expect God to move in our heart as well as those around us. Every week, we need to expect God to do something miraculous in this body. We need to expect that because I believe He wants to. I know He wants to. But a lot of it depends on us. Here's what we find. In the upper room. So if you had been there at Jesus' ascension, I mean, that was just like, whoa. And I'm sure from the 3/4 of a mile to Mount of Olives to Jerusalem, they're just chit-chatting, and man, their emotions are like level 10, and they're just kind of going on and on and on. And then they get to Jerusalem, and probably the same day. I don't think they stopped by their house for a Coke. I think they went on, and that would have been 10 days from the time that Jesus' ascension until the Holy Spirit came. And so they get into the upper room, and they're just, yeah. But after a while, things begin to settle. And then they begin the preparation. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it said, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. There was expectation, there was the anticipation, and then there was the preparation. So here's what they did. They prepared in two ways. The first way they prepared was earnest prayer. It says prayer and supplication. Prayer, it talks about how these prayers were uttered. They were heartfelt, heart-generated prayers, not just words spoken or words read from a list. It was a heart-generated prayer. You remember the story of Hannah, who didn't have a child, wanted a child. And she would cry out to the Lord and finally, one day, she and her husband had gone to church, and man, she was praying, just pouring her heart out. She wasn't saying anything out loud. It was all kind of a whisper, kind of in her heart, but it was an earnest prayer. It was so earnest that when Eli, the preacher, came by, he said, "Hey, lady, it's too early. You're not supposed to be drunk here." She says, "I'm not drunk. My heart is grieved." She didn't tell him why. He just saw the earnestness of her prayer. He said, "You have received the prayer. You've received the request that you prayed." And you know what she did? She got up, she dried her tears, and she started praising the Lord, because she was in the expectation that her prayers had been answered. They were in earnest prayer. James 5:16 through 18, and this is talking about those of you who are sick, but basically, I want to get to the fervent prayer part in verse 16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Did you know Elijah was just like you? Just like me, and he had his pitfalls. He says Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours and prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So these disciples were praying in earnestness. The next word, supplication, talks about what they prayed. Supplication means what was spoken, a petition, a request. They were not only fervent in their prayers, but listen, they were specific about what they needed. They were specific. It wasn't a prayer of generality. "Lord, you just give me whatever you want." No, this is what God, Jesus promised. "Lord, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm received." So they were specific about what they prayed. That's what that supplication means. And just as Hannah prayed for the birth of a son, and God granted that, I'm convinced that they were preparing their heart to receive the promise. Confessing their sins, forgiving those who offended them, choosing not to judge one another, even Peter, for denying Jesus. They were readying their heart for the promise. 120 people in the upper room praying for one another, not criticizing, not judging, not gossiping. Scripture says that they were, second thing, says that they were all in one accord. This is the second way they prepared themselves. They were all in one accord. We had a friend with us one time. His name was Arvis Williams from Mississippi. Cynthia and I were living in Southwest Portland. And Arvis came to stay with us for a while as kind of a missionary at the church we were working at. And then Arvis brought his mom out. And Arvis said, "Hey, Mom, I know what kind of car we're going to drive in heaven." And his mom said, "What?" He said, "Well, Scripture says we're going to be all in one accord." And his mom was very gullible, and she believed him. But that's not what this is talking about. It says they were all in one accord. They had the same mind. There were no arguments. They were in harmony. Now, that doesn't mean that they all agreed on everything, okay? But what it does mean is that they had no ill feelings toward each other. They all were surrendered and devoted to Jesus. They had one purpose in mind: to please him. I want us to look at a passage in Psalms. It's a profound promise given to those who live in harmony with one another. Psalm chapter 133, verses 1 through 3. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. So in Exodus chapter 23, or I'm sorry, chapter 30, verses 23 through 24, we find the makeup of the ointment that was poured on Aaron. It's made up of myrrh, cinnamon, cane, I'm thinking sugar cane, and cassia, which I didn't know what it was. I had to look it up. It's like cinnamon, but it's a stronger than cinnamon. And so, and then olive oil. So here's the deal. Aaron, the high priest, was blessed by the Lord, right? He was blessed by the Lord. And the oil of the anointing was the oil that allowed others to know that he was blessed by the oil. It was a present reminder to him and others that the blessings of the Lord were upon him. Wherever he went, he carried the blessing. Wherever he went, he carried the fragrance. If Aaron walked into this room, you could smell him. Because of the fragrance that he carried with him when he went. And listen, we need to carry the fragrance of the Lord wherever we go. He says the blessings of Aaron are upon us if we live in accord with one another. The second blessing he talks about is that of Mount Hermon. One of the hottest days, on the hottest days, there's a mist that descends from Mount Hermon upon the dry and parched land and the people, giving life to plants and also giving reprieve to the people that are living in this area. And so that's what he's talking about. So when he's talking about the blessing, this is a blessing. Every day that it's hot, every day that you're parched, there's a mist that comes from the Lord to give a reprieve from the parchment. When God sees a people living in harmony, no evil speaking, no gossip, no slander, loving one another, caring for one another, such as you're doing, there's an incredible blessing that is promised to each of us. And this is what it says. Listen, the blessing is life forevermore. Isn't that a marvelous blessing? When you live in harmony, when you love one another, when you're in one accord, God says, I command the blessing of life forever upon you. Isn't that a marvelous blessing? Praise the Lord, and we have that blessing here at Life Change. Praise the Lord. He's commanded the blessing. We can't resist it. It's already declared upon us. We don't even have to declare it. It's already declared upon us. I believe that I'm the most blessed pastor around, because of the church that I pastor. Now, listen to me. The enemy's going to try to do anything he can in his power to disrupt the harmony, right? Because he does not want the blessings of life upon this church. And so he's going to do everything in his power to disrupt the harmony. But that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Amen, John? We're not perfect. But what it does mean is that when we find ourselves messed up, sin, we're going to ask forgiveness. We're going to repent. And if we need to, we're going to go to the person that we've hurt and apologize to them. We're going to not be prideful and say, just get over it. We're going to say, you know what? I am so sorry I hurt you. I'm so sorry I've done wrong to you. Would you please forgive me? So prayer, confession, and repentance was part of their preparation for the Holy Spirit. Then there was the realization of the promise, Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here's the deal. They spoke the gospel with boldness. Thousands gave their life to Jesus because they were a Spirit-filled church. What if we were a Spirit-filled church every Sunday? What if we were a Spirit-filled church every Sunday? What could the Lord do in our midst? As I shared at the beginning of this message, I believe we're on the cusp of the Lord doing amazing things here. And not that He hasn't already done so, but I believe that He has more prepared. But we have to prepare ourselves spiritually. And I believe the more we prepare ourselves spiritually, the more outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the more divine blessings that we will experience here at Life Change. So we're going to have the Lord's Supper. I think as you came in the door, you received the elements. If you didn't, raise your hand and we'll get that to you. Okay? Michael needs... Oh, Michael's got it. Okay. All right. And before we take this, I'm going to bless it. But maybe as I've been speaking this morning, you feel like that you're not in harmony and you might want to address that. And we're going to have a time of invitation. And you can just hold on to it. What I would suggest is that you prepare your heart and then take the elements. Okay? And if it means coming to me and having prayer, if it means to going to someone else and asking forgiveness or working things out, then keep it in your pocket. Then when you've addressed those issues and addressed any issues between you and the Lord, then take it. Okay? But there is a passage of Scripture that says that there are some people who are sick because they take it unworthily. And so being made worthy or being worthy doesn't have to do anything with just confessing and repenting and being right with the Lord. Okay? So I want to pray for this. And Lord, I come before you. I thank you for this blessing. Lord, your broken body, which you said heals us. And so, Lord, we receive this as in every possible way you designed it to be. And Lord, I'm not smart enough to know all the ways, but you did. And so, Lord, we receive this with all the intentions that you implemented and that are your intentions. We receive it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I thank you for the shedding of your blood. You said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so, Lord, we thank you for the life that you gave so that we could experience life. Thank you for taking our punishment. Thank you for rising again on the third day. And Lord, we receive your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward. And again, I encourage you to address any issues that the Lord has shared with you that you need to address as we sing. the Lord's blessing.
Amen. You may be seated. Cheryl, would you come share with the congregation what you just shared with me?
All right. As you know, I've been going through lots of tests and stuff, and things have been happening, and I had cleared my pancreas, and I do not have cancer.
Praise the Lord.
No cancer showed up on the screen at all in the PET scan.
Praise you, God.
So, anyway, he's still concerned about some nodules that are on my lungs. Okay, so he had me do another scan. My third one, anyway, and he took that scan and sat down with me with the one scan prior to that that showed the bright screen of this nodule on my lung. Well, the last scan has absolutely no nodules.
Glory to you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to you, Lord.
I'm dumbfounded, but very pleased. And why me? You know, but why not me, right?
Come on.
Why not you?
Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Jesus.